magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Great News Radio listener and Prime Lifetimes reader.
Hello.
We're all greetings today.
Aren't we chipper?
Actually, look at my tabletop, my countertop.
I know.
Here.
You have so much stuff there.
Try to do an overview and stay on task.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. We're serious. Let's be serious.
I want to cover all these different things. Hey, why don't we begin with, this is what we had on our bus. We had 56 people that went to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And including the bus driver, there's 57 of us.
Sounds like you guys had a great,
great
time.
This is how we began, one of the many things. We had a lot of testimonies and people sharing.
Favorite food, favorite activity. That's fun.
Yeah, introduced themselves and many of them that came up. And then we had some testimony time. C.J. Sizemore, I said, C.J., come up here and do your colonel impression or your colonel, I don't know.
Free chicken for everybody, huh?
Yeah. And Karen Jones shared a God-honoring testimony of healing and such. And that spurred some others on to share, including Holly. And she was sharing some of the struggles and things she went through. Mm. That was really a blessing. And then Pastor Brent Robinson, I think the second day, because this was a two-day trip. Let's see, we departed Marketplace Mall at 6:30 a.m. So some were up at like 3:30, 4, 4:30 in order to get everything set and leave.
Yeah.
But we had 2 days of sharing as we went to the Creation Museum initially. Then went to our hotel, the Hyatt, which great accommodation, stayed the night. Then went to, I think it's the First Baptist Church of Florence, Kentucky.
Aww.
Interesting and powerful message that day. We had all these elderly senior saints, and they were talking about premarital sex. And
It can still apply.
Yeah, I know. So it was actually great. And if we had a lot more teenage listeners, I'd recommend every teenager or every young unmarried person to tune in. It was powerful. But he shared about life purpose, and Cindy Wendell shared a good story. And it was just neat, like Margaret Kachaturian. Everyone knows her as Stevie J's mom.
I met her.
Stevie J. He got to be known as Stevie J because it was maybe hard to pronounce his name or to share.
It's a great name anyway.
I think it's Kachaturian. Very close to something like
that.
She's
a nice lady.
Oh, sweet senior saint. I wanted to ask her, how old are you?
Well, that's just not something you wander up and ask people, Mark.
She was probably the oldest in the trip, but she was spunky.
She's spry.
Right in the front row.
And sharp.
She was sitting next to Donna. And I got Donna to play her accordion on the way home, so I think we had 3 sing-alongs with her.
You guys were a rollicking bus.
It was good. It was great. A lot of testimony. Sharon Sharp shared, and Judy Lovis, and I think that was one of the favorite parts of the trip, is just when people share their testimony or their life journey.
Getting to know each other better.
Yeah. So, and then, obviously, the Creation Museum was great, and it's ever-changing and growing, so that was neat, and it was the first time where I walked out to all the gardens.
What kind of gardens do they have?
They have all these, like, bridges over ponds in this creek and hostas and all the many things, bamboo and different things growing throughout the area. So they're trails throughout
Creation Museum. I've never been there, so I don't know how much time you have, but I wanted to hear a little more. Why are they having gardens around the...
Well, I think because of God's creation.
Okay, all right, that's nice.
So they had some animals and the trails, so you can see the beauty of God's design. Because as you're in the building, and it's a state-of-the-art museum with all sorts of video footage and little snippets of, like, movies or themes, so you go through...
Kind of displays.
And you walk through, like, the Adam and Eve and the Cain killing Abel and all of it's like the biblical narrative from the beginning of creation. And then scientifically, how things were figured out or...
Like research. And,
And, I mean, lots of things you can read and study and walk through. And then they have a precursor to the Ark. I mean, they wanted to show you all the Ark, but now that they have the Ark Encounter, it kind of gives you a preview of what you're going to see. And then so the next day, after we spent nearly 5 hours at the Creation Museum, the next day we went to a church service and then went to the Ark Encounter from basically about 1 to 5 p.m.
So the Ark Encounter is separate from...
Yeah, it's about 40 miles away.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, so you almost can't really do both in the same day.
Okay.
Because there's so much to see at both. And the Ark Encounter, the 4 or so hours that we were there, there was still much more we could have done.
Really?
And the Ark Encounter, it's on a campus of like 850 acres. And so they're building an amphitheater that'll sit 2,500 people. They have mm-hmm. Christian concerts and other speakers and guests. And they have now a number of animals, like a petting zoo kind of area. And they're waiting for the giraffes to arrive. So.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if you were in that ark and you were the group, if you standing there and it started to rain, that'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it?
Well, there was a little, like,
it would
a
be
little
scary.
Showering. Somebody asked, would the boat actually
I guess
actually
we're the
float?
Chosen ones. Here
yeah,
we go.
This is it. Get on board, everyone. Yeah, and that was really great. But they're going to continue to build that. I think they're going to have a first century rendition of, like, Jerusalem.
Oh,
and
my.
A number of other things on these many acres. And so it's changed since I've been there in the 2 years. They added a couple things in their building. They're hoping by the end of next year to have something else done. And ever growing. The restaurants have changed, and they had the big buffet here, and pulled pork and burgers and other barbecue over here, and
what's
so it's growing.
Growing, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed all that. And then on the way back, we stopped at a restaurant, kind of a place where you could go to the Arby's or the Kentucky Fried Chicken mm-hmm. or the Dairy Queen, gave everyone the options. And I guess while C.J. Sizemore, who is a representative of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think there's only two or three throughout the country, and he's one of them, he walks in and some of the employees are like, huh?
Oh, really?
And so they all were running from behind the back room and out and wanted to get pictures with the colonel.
Oh.
And so they all got a free cookie and thoroughly enjoyed that. And he got to be honored. And that was really fun.
Well, you guys got home late.
Yeah, I think by the time we got in, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And then
on the second day. Yeah.
For Marketplace Mall. And then, you know, everyone else had the half hour, 45-minute
right.
drive or whatever. So, yeah, kind of a late night, but all good and glad to be back here, back in the saddle. But, yeah, 56 of us, 57 mm-hmm. with the driver, thoroughly good. In fact, a few of them want to sign up for the Israel trip.
Oh.
So I thought,
I thought
oh,
you
that's
were full.
Really good. We were close to being filled. We had one person that had to pull out. And so, and we want to keep it a smaller group. So, yeah, there's anywhere from two to maybe four, maybe six more I could let on.
Okay.
So haven't talked much about it because we just have a great group and but if you're really interested and want to know more, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. I pulled this out. Is
okay,
your
what?
Love tank full? That was a video I put in. We had a lot of great conversation and worship and sharing time, but
this looks like a
Swan.
Comedy movie. Is it a comedy?
No, he's a stand-up comic.
Oh,
the
okay.
Swan, Dennis Swanberg.
Oh.
And so he just gets up and he talks about his wife and filling your love tank. And he's just a comedian. He's a Christian comedian.
Okay.
So he tries to make it God-honoring.
I thought it was Thelma and Louise or something. I couldn't tell what you had
yeah,
there.
So yeah, so Dennis Swanberg. So
oh,
a lot of laughter
nice.
Watching that. Yeah, those are the brochures, the Creation mm-hmm. Museum, the Ark Encounter.
What else
oh, this
you
is
got
a group
on your
photo.
Desk?
What do you
oh.
think of this group? That's most everyone.
Oh, that's everybody that went?
Yeah, we have a
wow.
full picture of everyone from the Ark Encounter. I'll have those posted Facebook page.
Oh, Esther went too.
Yeah, but Esther was the only child.
Okay.
Almost everyone else qualified for the senior discount.
Oh, plus her heart.
So
is this a place where people often get their photographs? I mean, this is
yeah.
a beautiful background.
Well, what it is the background is just these green screens.
Oh.
And so you go there, and then they insert the background. So there's three different backgrounds you
okay.
can pick.
Okay, that's beautiful.
So it
looks
just
like
was a green screen.
The universe back there.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's great. So that's posted on the website and Facebook page. So yeah, great bunch. Appreciated the testimony, the sharing, the fun time, the food. You know, just like any group, you get to know each other
yeah.
and get to have fun and hear their stories. And many listen to the station. In fact, we filled the bus other than one seat. And I used that for people to come forward to share.
Nice.
But how we had the 56 is one person drove and met us there. So
oh, okay.
Really, it would have been a full bus. Other
well,
than
you're good
one.
At organizing, Mark.
Yeah, it all came together.
Yeah,
a lot of great
did.
Helpers. But everyone had on their seat an edition of the Prime Life Times.
Wow.
And most
that sounds
were unfamiliar
right.
with the paper.
Really?
And so for the first, you know, hour or so, while people were just waking up, you know, if they'd been up since 5 or 5:30 or whatever, they were looking at it and some
oh.
were reading it all through. And I've never seen this. I love this. So
well, that's good news.
Very fun to have them be a part of our Prime Life Times readership now.
Yeah.
So in 150 locations.
You bet. Another one coming out soon.
Yeah. We're getting into the final proofs on
we
that.
We are.
So we read that on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
You had a
Gladys in.
Yeah, that was fun. And I was telling people about Gladys and how sweet she is. All right. So before we read from your book, you got some follow-up
on some
of the things we talked about of late.
Do you remember how you and I said assignments for people to look things up, all the things we didn't know?
I think I got to cover the James passage that...
Yeah, Jason helped you there.
Yeah, he helped on that one.
And Huey sent in that J.O. Cunningham, we talked about that.
Oh, Cunningham Avenue Cunningham, or Cunningham
He was a
Showroom?
Friend of Lincoln. And he sent in this piece of information. It's very interesting.
Now, this comes from Huey.
Yes, this is from Huey.
He's a board member of
about the University of Illinois, because we read that article by Doug Peterson. He said, Christian men gathered to pray and work to bring forth the University of Illinois. I did not know that. It was as much a work of God as any of the prestigious Eastern universities. Wow. There was an outstanding display in the library 20 years ago, which included much information on the Christian men instrumental in the university's founding. Early documents show the religious conviction of the founders.
This is U of I.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Roger, I love...
Now, we all know that about, like, Yale and Harvard, even though they've become so very secular and almost anti-God or anti-religious.
Well,
but
see,
U of I even, too.
The founders, that gives us a way to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
The founders had this conviction about prayer. That's amazing. And I did not know that. And then Roger sent in, I love it, the title on his email is Assignment.
Assignment taken.
And he's telling all about how the elephant, that building, was really called Old Main. This is interesting. I'm just going to read this little bit. There's lots more. The first building of the U of I on the campus, in its conception in 1859, it was to be built for a theological seminary. Hmm. This plan fell through due to the Civil War. For 6 years, the building stood only partially finished until Abraham Lincoln made post-war federal funding available.
Wow.
Oh, there's so much more.
That's totally taken us
back. I know
we
don't have time. So much more. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. So if you missed a week ago Monday's program and you're wondering why they bring in that up, it's because, you know, last Monday as we were reading the story, we were uncertain about some of the facts.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So we gave out assignments. So no assignments yet for you today.
It may happen. But
yeah, it might still happen. All right. So in front of us, I see we have copies of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. And your beloved recounting of stories from your childhood and turned it into some devotional thoughts and some God-honoring material that I think has been a blessing to so many. And you and I had talked about this off air, but maybe next Tuesday we'll begin from the beginning of the book, which we've really never covered, and even talk about your table of contents and some of the impetus of why you began to write this.
Yeah.
And Gladys, was that new information for you yesterday that you were the catalyst for her to start writing some because of your book?
No, I guess it was new information. I knew she had written me asking for like some pointers and help and information, but I didn't know it was that inspiring.
Wow.
I was kind of humbled and shocked.
Yeah, and blessed.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what have you picked for us for today?
Okay, chapter 45. It's called Stories and Proverbs. Like so many places, Africa abounds in stories and proverbs passed down from the distant generations. And like the stories from other places, many of Africa's stories carry the universal messages that teach us how to live or show us anew a realization about our world. Stories of people or animals who get what they deserve, warnings to beware of tricksters. Hmm. Stories that emphasize the importance of learning from past mistakes. Stories with an unexpected twist at the end that sharply remind us to be careful in our judgments because everything may not be as it first appears. Stories for the sorry price to pay for greed or envy.
Hmm.
And hundreds upon hundreds of proverbs or short sayings that embed in the mind a particular truth, warning, or realization.
Hmm.
Jesus used parables and stories to drive home his points for a reason, because we remember them.
Hmm.
I have known individuals who say they haven't opened a Bible in years, or ever. Yet upon hearing the words, the story of the Good Samaritan, they immediately reply, "Oh, I remember that one." Interesting. Stories transport us as the images evoked rise up in our minds, yet we remain grounded in our seats. we grow entranced with the plot, no matter how small or simple. As the message of the story seeps into our awareness, we want to know what happens next. A group of children sitting cross-legged in a small circle, intently listening to a story being told, seem identical in their demeanor and interest across the globe. Whether they are at a scouting campfire in Colorado, a village fire in Zimbabwe, or an igloo in Alaska, their eager eyes glow in anticipation as the story unfolds. Africa's stories and proverbs carry a distinctive African flavor, just as those from China carry a particular feel, or those from Russia really do seem Russian. But, given that Africa is such a huge continent, there are wide diversities as well. Some, like the Anansi spider stories, seem to be told in some form in many countries across the continent. One of my favorite proverbs is an old Shona proverb that states, "He who warns you is your friend." One of my favorite stories is from the Zulu people, a story about a time after the days when the greatest one, the Creator, had made humanity, but not too long after the first man and first woman had walked on the earth together. It is the story of their descendants. It tells how these descendants were sad because they did not know the ancient stories to tell their children. Finally, after a series of adventures, the inhabitants of the underwater sea kingdom gave one of them an exquisite and beautiful seashell that, when held to the ear, softly whispered the tales of long ago. We spend our years as a tale that is told, is how the King James translation renders Psalm 99. I wonder sometimes what my story will be. I listened to a speaker tell a story the other day, and it was flawless. Afterward, I wondered how many times he must have practiced it, how many times he must have honed his speaking skill to make it seem so succinct and fluid. Not a single misstep. And it reminded me of the older people groups who placed such a value on the oral tradition of passing on stories. We've lost most of that. We have little understanding of memorizing each and every word and making sure it gets transmitted to the next generation perfectly. Some Middle Eastern and African cultures have handed down stories utterly intact by memory for hundreds upon hundreds of years. There is an old African proverb that says, "When an old man dies, a library burns to the ground." I think it's especially appropriate that it's an African proverb, for the African people traditionally respect their elders. Jesus used so many different teaching styles. His most important may have been the straightforward way he simply relayed truth and spoke of the reality of who he is. Those statements are clear-cut and to the point. The miracles themselves were profound statements that showed and undergirded this truth, showing us that he could back up what he said. In addition, he taught us by his actions. He did not shun the woman at the well with five husbands. He did not hesitate to stand up to the false teaching of the Pharisees. And then, as if all of that straightforward speech and truth were not enough, he taught us with the parables and the stories. Jesus told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Some fell on rocky ground. Other seed fell among thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. Luke 8:5. Nearly every culture on earth can follow the gist of this story and how the state of the soil mattered. An African farmer, an American farmer, or a farmer in Finland all grasp it immediately. Jesus told this small story. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Matthew 13:44. Around the planet, people quickly understand the meaning of finding something of such extraordinary value. He taught them many things in parables. Mark 4:2. I think we are fortunate that he did. Around this globe, from Africa to Australia, we can all latch on to the story. We listen to stories. We instinctively try to figure out what they mean. But then Jesus understood that. He understands us. Jesus, what will the story of my life be? How will it go? Give me the wisdom to want it to be a story of meaning, a story that helps others and that honors you. I know that sometimes stories have difficult moments. Happy moments, troubled moments, suspenseful moments, bittersweet moments. Some end early, and some last long. But in the end, just make mine count. Make it count somehow for you.
And our story time has to come to a close. That's our unusual wait.
We got the news.
Oh, that's a great one. Stories. Wow, yeah, and the word pictures that we can give out by telling stories to help leave an impression or make an impact and make a great point. Wow, yeah, and Jesus was the master of them all.
Yeah, they stick with us.
Hey, great job, Marianne. Thanks for joining us
today. Thank you, Mark.
And speaking of stories, there's a lot of great articles in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the May edition. And in fact, if you turn to page A12, you will see listed over 150 different locations with the address and the town where you can pick up your free edition. But you say, I don't have the May edition to turn to page A12. Well, stop by the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square, and we'll happily put one in your hand. And let me also mention, on page 2, there's a listing of Yoder's Kitchen. Join the Great News Radio listening family and the Prime Life Times readers for on Tuesday, June 29th, 10% of your total food purchase will go to Great News Radio. So put that on your calendar, and I hope you'll join us whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Yoder's Kitchen, 1195 East Columbia in Arthur. Come participate in the Great News Radio Dinner Club, which will include breakfast and lunch. And be sure to tell your hostess, server, and waiter or waitress that you're there for the special Great News Radio 10% total food purchases going back to the station as a donation. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
God bless.